Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business celebrities. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, keynote speaker, and master at helping clients reach peak performance through success skills, leadership, sales, and behavior change. He's helped generate quantum leaps for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two Playmakers. Our first is the chairman and CEO of a private investment company, while our other Playmaker is a back specialist. With us today are the CEO of a company that focuses on restaurants and real estate, while our other guest is a doctor who wants to fix your back non-surgically. These great Playmakers are Ray Washburn. Ray is the chairman and CEO of Charter Holdings. And Dr. Douglas Wan, he is the founder and director of Minimally Invasive Spine Care. And we're going to begin today's show with Ray. Ray Washburn is the chairman and CEO of Charter Holdings, which is a private investment company here in Dallas. It's primarily involved in real estate and restaurants. He's co-founder and co-owner of M Crowd Restaurant Group, which owns the Mi Cucina and Taco Diner restaurant chains. He's also the managing partner of the Highland Park Village, which is America's first planned shopping center and one of the premier shopping centers in the United States. A 1984 graduate of Southern Methodist University, Ray has previously served as an adjunct professor at the SMU Cox School of Business. Ray, thank you very much for joining us on Playmakers Talk Show.
Sure. Thank you, Steve.
Now, you have restaurants, you have real estate, you have investments. As I was doing some research on you and your company, the one thing that caught my eye was Mi Cucina working there as like an extended family. How did that concept really develop?
Well, Mi Cucina originally started, I was a customer at a little hole-in-the-wall restaurant on Lemon that's actually still there called Mia's Restaurant. And when I was around 31 years old, this is, I hate to say my age, but it was 24 years ago. I was approached by the son of the family that owned it, a guy named Miko Rodriguez, about starting a restaurant much like Mia's up in North Dallas. And came to me and said he could open a restaurant for $25,000. And being, people always ask how he got in the business. I said I was young and naive. The best way to get in any kind of business, I didn't know any better.
$25,000.
$25,000, which of course ended up being not the real story. And so we found a location at Preston and Forest Shopping Center and leased a little 1,200 square foot space. And after he spent the first $25,000, it went to $50,000. And I brought my best friend from college in to do that. And then he got to $75,000. I brought my brother into it. And so we ended up opening it for $77,000. And that restaurant is still there today. And very successful restaurant at Preston Forest. So that started it. And the reason I backed Miko to begin with was, as I said, I was young and naive, but his also was part of a family that had been very successful for years. And I'd observed him in what he had done. And so it ended up being a successful deal. Today we have 40 restaurants, and we built that $77,000 into a 40 restaurant chain that does over $100 million a year in sales, and we have about 2,200 employees. So That was a good investment looking back at it.
You were telling me before we started that you were hoping at the least to get your money back on that.
Yeah, when we first went in, the day we opened, we did, I think, $300 the first day. And I was just thinking my $25,000 was a goner. But we ended up doing well. And I think that restaurant today, we serve about 10,000 people a week still out of that restaurant.
So what were you doing prior to getting your feet wet in the restaurant business?
Well, I was in the real estate business in Dallas. I got my real estate license when I was a senior at Highland Park High School, and I had gone to a night class to get my license back then, and started buying little houses and fixing them up, and the classic way to, you always see on TV, to get in the real estate business. And I just built that up through time. And then in the late 80s, when the RTC deal happened, fortunately, I was too young to have gotten in trouble with the SNLs, but I was clean and I had saved some money and had some investors, and we went sort of buying RTC properties and office buildings, land, developments, things like that. And so I happened to be in the right place at the right time in the real estate cycle, as well as when I started Mi Cucina, we were in the right place at the right time of bringing kind of a new type of Mexican food to Dallas that they hadn't had before.
Well, Mi Cocina is a part of what you call your M Crowd restaurant group.
That's right.
Which includes two other brands, too. Which are those? Which are those?
Taco Diner, of which we have seven in the Metroplex. We're building one in Sundance Square that will open the first quarter of next year, and we're also building one in Atlanta, Georgia. And then we have another restaurant called The Mercury, which is at Preston and Forest and is a higher-end restaurant. It's been there 12 years and very successful restaurant there as well. And I also back other restaurants in town. The Crew Wine Bars are one that I'm very involved in, and the Katy Trail Ice House is one I helped found that is now the highest-grossing bar in the state of Texas. It's right down near Victory on the Katy Trail, and it's been a that's been a fun one. We didn't think it – weren't sure what we had there when we opened it up, but it turned out just to be the right product for the right time.
You mentioned something else as we were talking before we got started, and there's a word you use to start with P, and mm-hmm. that's passion, mm-hmm. which I talk to my clients about all the time. And if you don't have that, I recommend people get out of the business and do something else. You didn't start in the restaurant business. You started in real estate, but it looks like you gained a tremendous amount of passion for restaurants.
Yeah, and you know, really the what made the restaurant – click was Miko was a great food and design guy, and I was a real estate guy. So as we expanded, I could use the experience and passion I had for finding locations, and we were one of the first restaurants to realize these new suburban town centers were being developed, like the Southlake Town Center or the Legacy Town Center, whereas other restaurants up to that point would want a freestanding building out in front of a mall. We were the first ones to kind of go in line, Highland Park Village, for example. West Village. And so we created an urban experience. And really that came from my real estate experience. Say, you know, it was a trend that people hadn't realized yet. And we've been in business now 24 years. And that's when we look for locations are always in an urban dense environment where we're inside a center. So we don't really have any, we have one or two freestanding buildings in the suburbs, but really that's not our focus.
And you mentioned Miko before, this Miko Rodriguez, one of your partners.
Uh-huh.
You also mentioned Highland Park Village. Let's talk about that because
sure.
on your website, and there's a couple of websites you can go to. One is charterholdings.com, and on the bottom are the websites for M Crowd, the private equity firm we'll talk about, and Highland Park Village. And on the Highland Park Village website, I'm fascinated by history. We're talking history again before the show started. And I was fascinated by how Highland Park began. You have that on your website. Even more so fascinated by how Highland Park Village started. Tell us why you actually purchased Highland Park Village in, what was it, 2009?
2009. Well, interesting story on the village. It was built in 1931 as a first planned shopping center in the United States. Before that, it would be in other parts of the United States, you'd have a street running through it with different shops that would pop up along the street. This is the first time someone actually had planned an entire development. And so I grew up in Highland Park. As a child, I went there. We had a Mi Cocina there for 20 years. I really understood the center. I understood the neighborhood around it and the personality of it. But I could also see there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. It had only been owned by three families since it had been built in 1931. And when the family that had bought it in 1976 wanted to sell, I had an opportunity to buy it. It wasn't marketed, you know, vastly because it would have been a very popular thing. But also the economic, if you remember in the spring of 2009, no one had any money to buy anything or they were scared to buy anything. And I was kind of like the restaurants. I was young and naive. So I closed my eyes and was able to buy it. And we paid the highest price ever paid for a shopping center in the Dallas area. But I could see the rents were very low. It needed a total remodeling. And since then, we brought in a lot of tenants like Tom Ford and Christian Dior and that have taken it and really turned it in. If you look at the Dallas-Fort Worth area, 6.5 million people here, huge amounts of wealth have been created in Oklahoma, Louisiana, West Texas. They needed someplace to shop. And right now they were going to New York or Los Angeles. And Dallas with North Park and Highland Park Village, which we complement each other very much, turned us into a shopping mecca. And we've been very, very pleased with the results we've had. We've doubled the gross sales of the center in 4 years, and it's shown we have the right form. But we have to be careful because I do have the local grocery store and the Dino's Cobbler and things like that. So I have to keep it as a neighborhood center because that's what I grew up with, but also with an eye to our international clientele.
I moved here in 1978. One of the first places I went to was the Highland Park Village. It always was a more upscale shopping center. Mm-hmm. Sounds like in the 4 years that you've owned it, that you've tweaked it just a little bit more to make it even more fine-tuned toward an upscale shopping center.
That's right. When we bought it, we had tenants in there like Banana Republic. And Banana Republic, there are 12 Banana Republics in Dallas-Fort Worth. So that wasn't a special
tenant. Wasn't exclusive, yeah.
Wasn't exclusive. So what we've tried to do is find tenants not only exclusive to Dallas, but also to Texas and the entire southwestern part of the U.S. We have a lot of business that comes up from Mexico. A lot of Monterey, a lot of Mexico City that will fly up here, shop, spend a couple of days, and go back. And Dallas is surprisingly enough to people who've grown up here is actually a big tourist attraction for people. And so our biggest weekends are things like Texas OU weekend or other times that bring a lot of tourists and conventioners here to town.
Well, the opening of the George Bush Library shouldn't hurt you at all either.
No, that was very helpful, right down the street.
We're talking with Ray Washburn. Ray is the chairman and CEO of Charter Holdings, also MCRA, which includes Mi Cocina and a couple other restaurants and Highland Park Village. We're going to talk more with Ray about his holdings, where he's going with them, and a little more history when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show, and we will be back right after this.
A night of world-famous barbecue, live music, and fun is what you'll find Thursday, November 7th at the 12th Annual Boots and Bandanas Dinner Auction for Camp Summit at Eddie Dean's Ranch in downtown Dallas. Camp Summit is a not-for-profit sleepaway camp for both children and adults with special needs. Since over 90% of the campers need financial assistance, Boots and Bandanas helps pay for campers with disabilities to attend camp each summer. Camp Summit is located in Argyle, Texas, and serves campers from ages 6 to 99. They offer a variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows for a camper in a wheelchair to ride on a zip line and a camper with autism to ride a horse. So November 7th, come out and support an organization that has helped special needs campers since 1947. Support Camp Summit at the 12th Annual Boots and Bandanas Dinner Auction at Eddie Dean's Ranch. Visit campsummittx.org or call Byron at 972-484-8900 for more information. That's campsummittx.org or call 972-484-8900.
Today, this very moment could be the start of something big for you. Why? Because at Cumulus Radio, we need one great person to join our sales team, and you could be the one. We sell marketing solutions like radio commercials, online services, and promotions. So, are you a creative problem solver? Experienced in outside sales? If you answered yes, then call me, Jerry Furch, at 972-708-4252. That's 972-708-4252. Cumulus is an equal opportunity employer.
I'm Jill Kumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that love built. Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House we say, there is strength in numbers and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
I'm Lars David Staberg, General Manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Ale & Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We are speaking with Ray Washburn. Ray is the chairman and CEO of Charter Holdings, which may not tell you much, but he also is involved with three different restaurants that we'll talk about in a moment, beginning with Mi Cocina and also the Highland Park Village. And when we were in our break, we were talking, I'm looking at the website for Highland Park Village. And if you go there and click on Legacy, you'll get a lot of history about Highland Park and the Highland Park Village. And I'm looking at a picture right now where we were talking about Skillern's Corner with Skillern's Pharmacy, which very few people remember anymore. Mm-hmm. But that was a draw to the Highland Park Village back in the day.
Oh, yeah. It had a soda fountain, and when it opened in the 1930s, that's actually as a child, as I grew up, you'd go to the soda fountain, and you buy your school supplies and get a free milkshake. And so it was a very popular pharmacy, and they had, I think in Dallas, probably 30 or 40 drugstores. It was bought by Zale Corporation, who then sold it to Eckerd's, and it became Eckerd's, who then became, I don't know who, CBS or
CBS Today, yeah.
Or someone else today, yeah.
How does it feel owning a shopping center that you frequented as a kid?
Well, it's really a great sense of responsibility is what I have, because everyone has got a story about the Village. In fact, I had breakfast with a guy this morning that said that he was in there when Kennedy got shot. He was in the movie theater, and he was a young boy, and Kennedy got shot, and they turned the movie off, and everyone was told to go home. And so when you live in the Park Cities or in Dallas, everyone has got a story, and so you've got to be very careful about the way the tenant mix is handled, and also different things like flower pots, and we fly different flags and things, but it's all got to be very community-oriented. In fact, the movie theater, which we own, we're very cautious in the way we book movies in there because it's such a family neighborhood. We really focus on G and PG movies for mothers with children, and then the movies at night are, I kind of call them R Datelight type movies. We don't have movies that really orient themselves to it's really the neighborhood we focus on.
And you're keeping the image up for that shopping center. It sounds also like you're similar to what Henry S. Miller did when he purchased it in 1976, because I believe his father was involved or worked for the original contractors that owned the shopping center. Is that correct?
Was that right? No, I didn't know that.
That was on the Highland Park or the Highland Park Village website. And it sounds like you are keeping the legacy clean, too, with that image and keeping it strong going forward.
Right. And it's a very family, with the family neighborhood, having our family, and I run it with my brother-in-law. People see us around the center all day. We know all the merchants. And it doesn't look like it's a big corporate REIT or something that owns a center and no personality. It has a personality, and I see that. I speak to garden groups, and everyone's got an opinion about the Tom Thumb store or the theater or different shops. And, you know, you listen to them, and the responsibility is more like you're mayor of it, and you listen to them respectfully and, you know, hear the – but I don't go anywhere where I don't hear somebody with opinion of some kind about it.
That's probably true. You probably are the mayor of Highland Park Village, or the closest thing to it anyway.
Right. And my brother-in-law and I work closely together. He handles the leasing on it, and so we're crisscrossing it every day. So
with that, where do we see the Highland Park Village going over the next few years?
Well, it's a very – delicate balance, as I was saying earlier. We could lease the movie theater for a lot more money, but we actually lose money running the theater, but we do it because we think it's a community asset that the neighborhood needs, and we'll always have a grocery store in there. We'll always have the cobbler like Dino's and value price. We have a Mi Casino there, of course, and Patrizio's, things like that have the price point that is very accessible to people in the neighborhood. We would like to add a hotel at some point. That's our most asked thing is a small boutique hotel, a 50 to 100 room hotel. So we're looking around how that could possibly be put in, but it's everything is going to be with a lot of community involvement, a lot of focus groups, because we don't want to go wade into something that the community is not buying into. But that's as Dallas has become bigger and bigger, as the visitors come to Dallas, as you mentioned, the Bush Library, there are few hotels really for people to stay in that are closer into the Park Cities and all. You're not the Mansion or the Crescent or the Ritz, which are great hotels, but people like to stay on site and shop there. So,
out that's south of where you are. Then east, you have Central Expressway, and there's a couple there, but there really aren't any. And then west, you go west all the way to Love Field, but there really aren't many any hotels right where you are.
That's right.
So it could be a real mecca for you. Good. How about the restaurants? You have three that you focus on: Mi Cocina, mm-hmm. you have Taco Diner, and mm-hmm. you have the Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going with those?
Well, with Mi Cocina, we have opened the last year. We've opened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Houston, Atlanta, Georgia, and Washington, D.C. And so our expansion, we've pretty much built out the Dallas market. We think we could either do one Mi Cocina, one Taco Diner in Dallas forever, as long as the city continues to grow the way it is. So as I said, we're opening a Taco Diner in Fort Worth this year. Next year, we're working on another Mi Cocina location here. But really, our growth is going to be we really like the Washington, D.C. market primarily. It's a lot of expats from the South live there, so they understand Mexican food. It's a very dense market because, as I said earlier, we're an urban concept. High incomes. Washington never seems to see a recession, even though it probably should. No one ever seems to get laid off in D.C., even in a couple weeks ago. They all got their back pay, even though they didn't have to work for 2 weeks. And it's a very young town and people go out a lot. So we think we could do 5 to 8 stores of each concept in Washington, D.C. And then in Atlanta, we think we could do 4 or 5 more stores. The company's unique. I own it with my brother and, like as I said, my college roommate, a guy named Bob McNutt, who runs a Collins Street Bakery in Corsicana, the fruitcakes. And
that is famous right there.
Yeah, that's right. He'd be a good story for you as well. But the three of us own it. We don't have any other partners. We can do what we want. And so we're not under pressure of being a public company. We don't have any interest in selling out. And so we can grow, you know, 2-3 restaurants a year. Just
and we're talking about Washington, D.C. That's where Marriott started. So you're in the right area. But using Washington, D.C. As a segue now, you were also chairman of the finance chairman of the Republican National Committee.
That's right.
Now, how does that fit together with everything else you do?
Good time management is what it works out. I'll be in Washington the rest of this week, but it's a interesting deal. I've been very involved in politics a long time. Primarily what brought me to politics was how complicated my businesses are and how governments were everything from regulation and food inspectors to real estate on and on and on. Now with the Obamacare is going to cost us, not this is a political statement, but I mean, it's going to cost me $4 million a year because it's about $2,200 an employee right off our bottom line without really doing anything for my employee. And so I got involved in politics really to have a mouthpiece in Washington for my business and my industry and really for my employees. And so what I spend my time doing is raising money for the Republican Party, not individual candidates, but more for the infrastructure of the party as they build towards the 2014 election and the 2016 election.
You've been involved in a lot of businesses. You've been extremely successful. I'm sure we haven't talked about it. I'm sure you had some failures along the way. Uh-huh. Everybody has those. If you were going to give advice to an up-and-coming budding entrepreneur, what advice would you give that person as he or she was beginning their business?
Well, I look at myself as more, I'm an entrepreneurial investor. And so what I would look for in someone to back would be someone who's passionate about what they're doing. I meet with people every week. I'm an investor in multiples of business. I bet over 100 companies. And the most successful ones have always been people that come in with a really defined plan. They're focused on it. They have some experience in it. And the ones I've seen that have failed, that I actually have invested in some because they seem like great people and a great idea, but then later that day, they have another idea about an entirely different business, and they've job hopped, and they can never find where they want. But the greatest entrepreneurs are someone that has a passion. I give you an example, like Miko with Mikasina. Was I a restaurant guy the day before he sat down with me and wanted me to put up $25,000? Not at all. I had never given a moment's thought. I backed him. He was because I knew he's passionate. He'd spent his career in it. But what he needed was capital. He needed some common business practical experience, which I had, and access to things because he couldn't access going into these shopping centers and things. So, and putting teams around him, this Katie Trail Ice House I mentioned was my best friend from high school who came with a concept. He had a very defined plan for it. We backed him and has created a big operation on that. And so really any entrepreneur that comes to me that has been successful and they stick to a plan, and you know what? If you bet on the right horse, the plan most probably won't work out exactly the way they have, but they can change midstream because they're focused on what they're doing and they don't lose interest. And I've seen too many people lose interest in what they're doing because things have gotten tough.
You know, one of the other things you just mentioned without mentioning it was really networking. You've kept those contacts together and those have helped you. Ray, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Sure. Thank you.
Ray Washburn is the chairman and CEO of Charter Holdings, but you'd probably know what he does better with his company called MCRA, which includes Mikosina, Taco Diner, The Mercury, and also Highland Park Village. Don't go away. We're going to talk about backs and how to possibly save your back without surgery. We're going to talk to Dr. Douglas Wan. He is the founder and director of Minimally Invasive Spine Care. I'm Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. We'll be back right after this.
KLIF News and Information, still at 570 AM and also at 96.3 FM HD.
We still don't know why a handwritten letter by Paul Ciancia, accused of killing TSA officer and wounding 4 other people at Los Angeles International Airport Friday, states he'd made the conscious decision to try and kill TSA employees, that he wanted to instill fear. Ciancia remains hospitalized after being shot four times by police. Secretary of State John Kerry is in Cairo a day before deposed President Mohamed Morsi goes on trial. Kerry urging calm.
I ask people everywhere to keep their minds open, to speak the language of peace, not hatred, not war, not continued division, but the possibilities of what peace can bring to everybody.
On his weekly radio show, Toronto Mayor Rob Ford apologized for being hammered, his word, in public, and says he needs to curb his drinking. However, Ford did not address allegations of illicit substance abuse. Police say they have a copy of a video that appears to show Ford puffing on a crack pipe. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your Quantum Leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free two-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free two-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of eight key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
Right now, traffic on the fives, mornings and afternoons. We'll help you get there. News and information, 570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2, KLIF.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back. We are going to talk about something a little bit different than restaurants and real estate in our second segment. We're going to talk about backs. Some that hurt, some don't. We're going to talk to Dr. Douglas Wan. Dr. Douglas Wan is the founder and director of Minimally Invasive Spine Care and Star Medical Center. Headquartered in Irving, Minimally Invasive Spine Care is a nationally acclaimed, fully comprehensive spine center for surgical and non-surgical procedures with 12 locations throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Star Medical Center is a new surgical hospital in Plano. Dr. Wan has more than 15 years of experience in medicine and more than a decade as a back specialist. Approximately 95% of his patients are treated non-surgically. But when surgery is necessary, Dr. Wan employs the most non-invasive methods possible. He helped develop endoscopic laser spine surgery and was the first surgeon in Texas to perform it with a 3-millimeter incision. Now, that's the size of a small grain of rice. Such a small incision performed with the right tools generally results in less damage to the skin and muscles, less blood loss, less pain, and a faster recovery time. A pioneer in spine care, Dr. Wan has invented several tools and techniques used by spine surgeons today. One of these inventions is the polyaxial medical screw, we're going to talk about that, screw assembly, enables surgeons who are performing spinal fusion to go between the muscles without tearing them. It was awarded a U.S. patent earlier this year. Douglas, Dr. Wan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for letting me be here.
Fascinating introduction. I want to ask you more questions about that. But before we get there, I want to get in more detail about Hall That Works, but first, if you would, tell us how and why you actually had gotten into medicine.
Yes. Back in 1982, our family immigrated to the United States. the best country in the world, and then to the best state in the United States, which is Texas. We settled in Irving. My father and my mother both worked as janitors, as a typical immigrant story, and they used their body to make a living, and they worked as a janitor. A few years later, my father underwent multiple back surgeries because he, you know, lifting heavy objects, working many, many hours. He injured his back many times. He was admitted to the hospital and had series of complications and also poor quality care. And he had multiple infections and other complications. So his hospital's typical stay, which should have been a day or two, lasted 2 to 3 months. And I actually lived with him in the hospital, taking care of him. And that inspired me to pursue medicine, also pursue surgical treatment. But more importantly, inspired me to take better care of the patients.
You know, I was looking at your website, which is spinewellnessclinic.com, or you can get there via minimally invasive spine care. But you haven't really been doing this long, and you've obviously had a tremendous insight in what needs to be done for a patient with back care, because over the last 15, 20 years, when I've talked to people about back surgery, I've gotten nothing but negative comments from them about their surgery. But obviously, you've turned everything around with the way you're doing it. How did you begin to develop this new way, A, to not have to surgically help a patient, and then the minimally invasive surgery when you do?
You know, first, one thing I noticed was my father first failed from back surgeries, and he suffered for many, many years. But through determination and through many different rehab process, whether it's the exercise program, acupuncture treatment, chiropractic treatment, he was able to find ways to manage his pain. So surgery is only one of the ways to treat patients with back pain, but there's many other modalities. And one thing I noticed of all the different centers is they focus on one thing. If you go to a surgeon, they focus on surgery. If you go into the pain management, they focus on injections. If you go to chiropractors, they just focus on adjusting. So I recognize that if we're able to develop a comprehensive center that providing all the different modalities and then tailor the treatment to what patient really needs, then we'll be able to first treat the patients without surgery, because ultimately, who wants to have surgery? Nobody wants to have surgery. So therefore, we're able to treat over 95% of the patients that we see in the clinic coming to us for surgical treatment, but we're able to treat them without surgery by utilizing many different modalities. And if they fail all the conservative treatment, then they're a candidate for surgery. But one thing I noticed throughout my training in the spine is that it was always the maximally invasive surgery, and they strip all the muscles off to gain access to the spine, cause tremendous amount of trauma to the patient. Back then, that's the only way they knew how to do it. And so once I started my career, I realized there's got to be a better way. The orthopedic surgery used to be maximally invasive, but then they have moved towards the minimally invasive and doing less damage to the tissues, using different type of scopes or endoscopes. I realized that we could do the same thing in spine, but we were never trained that way. So what I started doing is traveling around the world and observing surgeons. If they claim to do some sort of a minimally invasive surgery or less invasive, I visited them. And they would approach it just one or two different ways. But what I realized was I was able to combine all their efforts and their development and their innovations and make it into something special that we're able to provide it to all the patients. So we're the first center in the United States that are able to provide the most comprehensive minimally invasive surgery to the spine.
And you've performed surgery on a lot of surgeons, if I'm not correct.
Yes.
When I was a kid growing up, my father would tell me if I'm walking into a barbershop, I would look for the barber that had the worst haircut. And I asked my father, what do you mean? He said, well, if he has the worst haircut, that means he's cut the hair of everybody else. Well, apparently it's the same with you too. Not that you have the worst haircut or the worst surgeon, but you are obviously the best if you actually work with surgeons too. So congratulations. The other thing I want to mention is along with that, you've had a number of awards, and one of them is a humanitarian award recognized for your volunteer work for the Eagle Condor Medical Missionary Program in Peru in 2010. So not only are you doing work here, but also overseas and helping people there too.
Yes, one of my passion is treating patients who have inability to take care of themselves due to financial needs. Actually, it also came from my father's experience. When we first immigrated to this country, we didn't have any insurance. So my parents basically went bankrupt trying to finance their his surgeries and his back care. So we're very involved with many different organizations to help patients to treat themselves who can't afford to be treated. So we do a lot of medical mission trips to Central America, South America, also into many Asian countries. And we also help many patients in this country who's unable to help themselves due to financial reasons.
I want to ask you a few questions on your minimally invasive way to help back or patients with back problems, also on some of your surgery. But you also have a medical center opening in Plano. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, it's called Star Medical Center. This is a physician-driven surgical hospital, partnering up with all the surgeons and also primary care physicians to develop a network of physicians who care about quality of care and making the hospital much more efficient. The interesting thing is the Medicare just released the study, and top 10 hospitals across the country, which are most efficiently run, highest quality, and most effective care, 7 out of 10 were physician-driven hospitals. Interestingly enough, there's only 165 physician-driven hospitals across the country versus thousands and thousands and thousands of hospitals that's driven by corporate systems. However, fairly recently, back in 2009 and 2010, with Obama made it very difficult for physicians to develop hospitals, and not allowing them to participate in federally funded program, which is quite a tragedy, because there will be many patients, and especially elderly patients in Medicare populations, who are not going to be able to participate in highest quality care, which are driven by physicians.
We're going to talk more to Dr. Juan about that after our break. And you want to stay with us because he has some patients, names you may know. One of them is Bill Walton. We're going to talk about what he did with Bill Walton and also a video that he did with WFAA-TV on his website. My name is Steve Klein, and we'll be talking more to Dr. Douglas Juan, founder and director of Minimally Invasive Spine Care. We'll be back right after this.
A night of world-famous barbecue, live music, and fun is what you'll find Thursday, November 7th at the 12th Annual Boots and Bandanas Dinner Auction for Camp Summit at Eddie Dean's Ranch in downtown Dallas. Camp Summit is a not-for-profit sleepaway camp for both children and adults with special needs. Since over 90% of the campers need financial assistance, Boots and Bandanas helps pay for campers with disabilities to attend camp each summer. Camp Summit is located in Argyle, Texas, and serves campers from ages 6 to 99. They offer a variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows for a camper in a wheelchair to ride on a zip line and a camper with autism to ride a horse. So November 7th, come out and support an organization that has helped special needs campers since 1947. Support Camp Summit at the 12th Annual Boots and Bandanas Dinner Auction at Eddie Dean's Ranch. Visit campsummittx.org or call Byron at 972-484-8900 for more information. That's campsummittx.org or call 972-484-8900.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to.
With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
I'm Jill Kumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that love built. Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House we say there is strength in numbers and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
I'm Lars David Staber, General Manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Allen's Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back. We are speaking with Dr. Douglas Wan. Dr. Wan is the founder of the Minimally Invasive Spine Care, which is spinecaredfw.com. Interesting website, because if nothing else, I saw a number of videos on there, one of which was from WFAA TV, where you were being interviewed with an NBA celebrity, Bill Walton. And
yes.
Apparently you did some surgery on Bill. You spent some time helping him. And one thing I noticed, and you need to go to his website and watch the interview with Bill Walton. It's only about 3 or 4 minutes, but I have never seen a more enthusiastic person in my life as a result of the surgery that you performed on him. So tell us about how that all occurred.
Yeah, Bill is very enthusiastic about his results. We work with different surgeons, and we all work together. But Bill had a fairly, obviously been, beaten up on the court for many years, and he had a significantly degenerated spine with significant spinal stenosis at many levels in his lumbar spine. And if he would have had a traditional type of surgery, he would have been in a hospital for a very, very long time.
And crippled.
And possibly crippled. But he had the latest technology, minimally invasive surgery, through the what we call XLIF approach. Instead of stripping all the muscles off the back, we're able to go in between the muscle fibers and access the spine. And through that approach, we're able to fix all the lumbar spine and degenerative disc disease, as well as spinal stenosis. That allows somebody like Bill to recuperate much faster, because it involves less stripping of the muscles, less trauma to the tissues, less scarring, less pain, shorter hospital stay, faster road to recovery.
I would think somebody that's that tall, because we're talking about, 7 feet, and also playing basketball, a real physical sport, and getting beaten up, that puts even more pressure on the spine too.
Oh, absolutely. A tremendous amount of pressure. He had a very significant amount of stenosis. What that means is narrowing of the spinal canal, significantly compressing in the nerves, which sends not only back pain, but buttock pain and leg pain as well.
I've experienced that myself. Matter of fact, I want to ask you a question about that. But I was at a back surgeon one time, and I saw what the spine looked like. And I'm just amazed that any of us can walk around, how small that is and how much support it actually gives us. Question I want to ask you is, and I'll use myself as an example. I do have spinal stenosis. I do have, I believe, 3 herniated discs. Now, from hearing you and doing some research, it sounds like you would do some consultation first.
Yes.
To find out what needed to be done. You wouldn't immediately say, well, I'm going to put you on the table and cut you open. What, knowing that little, what kind of opportunities are there for someone like myself?
Most patients, even with spinal stenosis at multi-levels, with proper therapy that's tailored to their need, along with some spine injections, which is very simple, without utilizing any anesthesia, with light sedations, under the guidance of the special X-ray machine, we're able to treat the spinal stenosis and treat the symptoms. So therefore, many patients don't require surgical treatment at all. However, if one does need surgical treatment, we'll definitely do a lot of diagnostic studies, such as MRI, pain mapping, so that we can tailor the specific treatment. And there's so many different types of minimally invasive surgery. There's so many different ways of skinning the cat. And so we tailor all the procedures specifically for you.
I was speaking with my mother. She's in Chicago, because she's had 2 or 3 back surgeries. She's, I believe she's about 87 right now. She's doing extremely well mentally, but she moves around the house in a walker and a wheelchair because of the results of the back surgery, and hunched over.
Yes.
And as a result of seeing that, I've decided I don't want to have back surgery. I'll put up with the pain. And she was telling me that her scars have faded, but we're talking about long scars. We're talking about at least 10 years ago when she had the last surgery.
Yes.
We're talking about with you is 3 millimeters, the size of a grain of rice. How much can you do? How do you get into the spine and the muscles and through the muscles with an incision that small?
What we're able to do is utilizing the very small dilators and then also using the endoscopic technology, finding our ways into the spine and then using the small fiber optic cable, the cameras, to be able to visualize. Once we are in the spinal canal, then we're utilizing the very micro tools and instruments, we're able to fix the spine. So you don't necessarily have to flay somebody wide open. As long as we can gain the access to it and understand the anatomy, utilizing the fiber optic camera system, we're able to do all the things that we were doing before with wide open surgery.
In looking at your website, I noticed a couple of things. I was talking, mentioned the screws earlier in the introduction to mess that up, but I want to ask you more about the screws. But I also saw something about retractors and spacers. I was specifically interested in the spacers because those, do those replace the discs in the spine or strengthen the discs?
Yeah, first related to the retractors. There are a lot of people talk about them doing minimally invasive surgery because it becomes a buzzword. However, a lot of surgeons are utilizing what we call expandable retractors. Yes, they are able to gain access to the spine initially through the different dilators, but then they use an expanding retractor that tears up the muscles just as much as open back surgery. So then it only becomes a marketing tool. What we do at the Minimally Invasive Spine Care is utilizing only the retractor, smallest retractor possible. That's non-expanding. So it causes minimum amount of damage to the soft tissues. That also allows us to make sure that there's only minimum amount of bleeding and minimum amount of scarring. So I think that's an important aspect of it. And many patients, when they approach the surgeons, they typically do one or two different kinds of minimally invasive surgery. A lot of times they tell the patients, oh, their problem is not solvable with minimally invasive surgery. Therefore, they need a maximally invasive open back surgery, which is not true. Currently, in 2013-2014 technology, practically 95% of the patients should be able to have their problem solved with minimally invasive surgery, with non-expandable retractor system.
That's absolutely amazing. I, as I said, it was talking about the screw assembly that you have. How does that work? Are you screwing pieces of the spine together?
Yes. So if we have to do a minimally invasive fusion, many patients don't require fusion. However, there are certain patients that require very wide decompression, or they have unstable spine that we need to fix. Like, for example, if somebody has a broken bone, we need to utilize a plate and screws to hold them together. Same concept in spine. However, in the past, they used, again, strip the muscle and then you make a wide incision in order to gain to the spine to place the screws. So about 5-6 years ago, I developed a screw where without having to really open up the back, just making small skin incision big enough so that screw can actually go through the skin and it finds itself between the muscle fibers and into the bone, and then able to deliver the rod system without, again, opening the back to secure and stabilize the spine.
I would think what you're doing is the right place, the right time, because the baby boomers, which I'm part of, are getting older and having problems with backs. Years ago, people didn't live long enough to have back problems. Now the baby boomers are growing up, and they, at 67 years old, think they're 20 and 30. And so it sounds like that is helping your business or will be helping your business tremendously.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the back pain is the second most common reason why people go see their doctors, next to common cold. And so with the baby boomers getting older and older, there's going to be a great influx of patients with back problems.
And having gone through the back pain and taking a lot of ibuprofen, I can tell you that I'm one of those candidates. We are speaking with Dr. Douglas Wan. Dr. Douglas Wan is the founder and director of Minimally Invasive Spine Care, and that's spinecaredfw.com. Dr. Wan, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Playmakers make things happen. You obviously are doing that. Again, you can go to spinecaredfw.com to get a tremendous amount of information to find out what will happen if you do talk to Dr. Wan or his staff. I'm Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. You can get more information about the show at playmakerstalkshow.com. You can also get information about our current guests, past guests, and if you go to the show archive, you can listen to any of the past programs. Come back next week. We'll be back here again talking to more playmakers. I'm Steve Klein. We'll see you then.
In the morning and in the afternoon, your roadmap for right now traffic and the latest news. News and information, 570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2, KLIF.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability? How about low libido or weight gain? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. And until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to get relief from these problems. But you're in luck, because Ambren can help you balance hormones and relieve your hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability, and other symptoms of menopause. And now you can finally lose weight. Yes, even that stubborn body fat with Ambren Weight Loss, a powerful new product that will help you get the results you want. So you can finally lose the weight and all those other awful menopause symptoms. Call now and ask how you can get your free sample of Ambren Weight Loss. Just call 1-800-210-4432. This is a limited-time offer, so don't wait. Call Ambren right now, 1-800-210-4432. That's 1-800-210-4432. 1-800-210-4432.
At the end of a full day, you're looking to get caught up on what went on while you worked hard for the money. At KLIF News and Information 570, we're right there with you. That's why Kirk Gilchrist and the News and Information in the Afternoon team are checking all their resources and contacts every day to make sure we're giving you what you need to stay informed on your way home. News and Information in the Afternoon starts each weekday at 3. No matter when you're heading home in the afternoon, we can fill up that information inbox for you. News and Information 570 KLIF.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your quantum leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free two-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free two-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of 8 key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
News changes in an instant. So does our news coverage. News and Information, 570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2, KLIF. KLIF News and Information, still at 570 AM and also at 96.3 FM, HD2.
News and Information, 570 AM,
96.3 FM, HD2, KLIF, Dallas, KSES, FM, HD2, Fort Worth, KLIF.com,
a Cumulus station.